We've all heard about making America great again, but now a world leader wants to make our planet great again. Listen to learn who that is and what it means.
Whereas every single thing Jesus said that will characterize the end times is happening every single day all around us. And the problem of so many people is that they only watch or listen to the regular mainstream media.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Jan's guest today, Amir Sarfati. Jan caught up with Amir in Berlin, Germany. As you may know, Amir will be a featured speaker next month, October 7th, during our Understanding the Times conference held in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. This hour, Amir and Jan discuss the stage setting going on in Europe concerning the Antichrist, as well as America's place in Bible prophecy. To get the conversation started, here's Jan Markell.
Rome was the fourth great empire to follow Israel's loss of sovereignty. That fourth great empire of Rome would never, ever be superseded by another fifth world empire, according to the prophet Daniel 25 centuries ago. What an unusual prophecy. In 500 years, four world empires followed each other in quick succession. And yet in the last 2,000 years since the days of Jesus Christ, when the Roman Empire covered the entire area of Europe and the Mediterranean, no one has succeeded in rebuilding a fifth world empire. In fact, though Charlemagne tried in 800 AD, Napoleon tried 1,000 years later, Adolf Hitler and Mussolini tried, and they all failed because it was not the time.
And welcome to the program. And that's just a little tease that we're probably going to talk about the topic of Europe, Roman Empire. My guest for the hour is the familiar voice of Amir Sarfati. You've heard him so many times, I probably don't need to introduce him. He is the director of Behold Israel. Many of you follow his updates all sorts of ways, heavily the electronic world, the updates, the Facebook, the YouTube, his website, and more. I believe he has a book coming out in the future. And he's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times, 2017. We'll get to info about that just a little bit later, but we have a lot to talk about. So, Amir, welcome back to the program.
Shalom, Jan. It's great to be here again with you.
And I find you this time in Berlin, and we'll talk about why. Just an interesting place for, and you're not even there for a speaking engagement. That's what's so intriguing. But first, I want to head over to your blog, which I try to keep up on as much as I possibly can. And I noticed some interesting postings, and I've also heard you give these updates electronically on the YouTube, etc. And you say this: this September, we're already seeing fulfillment of Romans 8, 22 through 24 more than ever. Crazy things happen all over the globe, and it's only getting stronger and more frequent. Birth pangs indeed. I don't really need to look at the stars. I just need to look around. And then, Amir, you cite some things that are going on around the world. I mean, from floods to fires to monsoons to 2,300 tremors near Yellowstone. You reference the hurricanes, wars and rumors of war, solar flares. I mean, I could go on, and indeed the tremendous loss of life. And then I have to ask the question because I don't know if anyone's paying attention.
Yeah, you know, that's the sad thing. On one hand, the world is being deceived with the climate change trick. So whatever comes in shape of hurricanes, tornadoes, monsoons, this is the trick now, to blame the climate change on it. And the Christians are being deceived with some other things, such as, you know, celestial signs and all of that. And people, you know, all look and bark up the wrong tree, whereas every single thing Jesus said that will characterize the end times is happening every single day all around us. And the problem of so many people is that they only watch or listen to the regular mainstream media. And you and I know that the American media is the most popular media around the world, and anything that happens in America and is being broadcasted by Fox or CNN or ABC, CBC, whatever, everything will be all over the world. But people don't know that while Irma took the life of 50 people, monsoons took the life of 1,500 people on the other side of the globe.
Yes.
We see things literally across the globe. It's not an American thing. It's not, I don't even like to look at it as God trying to get the attention of America. I think God is speaking to the whole world.
Absolutely, and speaking to the whole world. So much of the world doesn't know the Bible. Americans, lots of Americans do know the Bible. They may not be ardent followers of it, but they're familiar with the Bible. But you've got countries far away that don't understand this.
They don't understand this, but they can see what's going on. And they're asking themselves, what is really going on here? Is that the end of the world?
Yeah.
Because things look pretty apocalyptic right now.
They do.
And yeah.
In my lifetime, I've not seen anything like this. Not
exactly.
Yeah, the intensity. I've not seen anything like this in
exactly.
The intensity.
Almost everything that happens now is being described as historical, in historical proportion. So people are not used to it. And so they're asking the questions. They may not get the right answers. But I believe all over the world, the sense is that there is no stability, that there is no security, if there is helplessness, hopelessness, despair. And you and I know that this is the climate that the Antichrist needs to have in order to emerge and surface, and just like a Pied Piper, carry everybody after him to places that you and I know where they lead. My point is, the world is really going that direction, but this is the best time for us as believers to be able to share the gospel using the world events as a stage for the words of Christ regarding what is the end time going to look like. And as always, there is hope. And the hope is that he's coming to take his bride. And the hope is the redemption of our body from this world. And the hope is that he loves the world. And he wants to save the world. But he wants the world to acknowledge their need for him.
I want to transition just a little bit, and you said something in the last minute here or so that leads me to want to transition. I'm going back to October 2016, when you spoke at my conference a year ago, and your message back then was fascinating, to say the least. It was informative, it was stimulating, it was troubling. Europe ready for the Antichrist. You talked about how Europe is setting the stage, because you and I, based on some verses in Daniel and other portions of Scripture, but heavily Daniel, believe that the Antichrist will come out of Europe. And let me just make a couple of observations. First, that was last year. That was last October. And many people, we've sold that message of yours on DVD and CD, and so have you. Folks quite intrigued with it. And by the way, this year, folks, Amir is going to update that message, Europe Closer to the Antichrist. That's why I'm speaking to him right now. He's in Berlin. And by the way, as we've been talking here off air, you have told me that as you walk the streets of Berlin, you're looking into faces that you see, they're empty, and looks that sort of people would like to follow a leader. They just would like to follow a Pied Piper because they're empty and they're lost.
Yeah, it seems like God is really out of the question here, and it seems like they got used to the secular lifestyle, and they need sort of a way out of the situation, but certainly not in the old world order fashion. Everybody's geared up towards something new, something that will be of a new world order, of a new lifestyle, of a new type of hopes and promises that's not of the old one. People have been deceived enough to somehow at this point not think that Christ is an option anymore because of the multicultural nature of Europe right now. It's just one option. There's so many options. And let's not make religion anything big. It's amazing. On one hand, you see that they're very, very comfortable without God. On the other hand, they are desperate for someone to lead them out of this, because I've been watching videos of Germans that are saying that, they are afraid. They are afraid. They don't even know what to do in their own country. And you know, for every 10 people I see here in Berlin, probably only 2 are German. Even the taxi driver from the airport to the hotel, I didn't even ask him. He immediately started telling me how much Germany is in trouble right now and how much political correctness is destroying it because they cannot do anything about it. During the message in the conference, I will actually expose who's behind this whole thing, and why do we know that this is a well-planned, well-orchestrated thing? It's not out of the blue. And the sad thing is that the two messages that I'm going to deliver, Where's America in Bible Prophecy and the Message in Europe, somehow are pretty much connected. Mm-hmm. Because many of the main figures that are behind the crisis that Europe is going through right now are actually people that used to pull the strings in America. And so we're going to deal with that. It's quite scary and fascinating at the same time. I've been praying and fasting and really asking God to really show me, because there's so much evil when you deal with how a continent is ready to have the Antichrist rising from it. And especially as a Jew, as an Israeli, people tend to forget, but the Antichrist will never be an Antichrist unless the Jews will think he is the Messiah. So there is a direct connection of whatever person is going to be to Israel. So to me, I'm not just looking at some figure. I'm looking at someone who's going to deceive my nation. I'm looking at someone who will have to appear as a Messiah to my own country, to my own people. So, I mean, I'm in the heart of sort of evil, in the heart of so much emptiness, so much despair, so much confusion. And yet, just as the Bible says, everybody is about their own business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, Jan, if the rapture took place today, nobody in Berlin would even know.
Really?
I'm telling you, nobody would even know.
It's that godless.
Nobody would care.
Hmm.
They wouldn't even care about it.
They're looking for a savior, as we've been saying. I mean, they elected this Emmanuel Macron back in May, and some publication over there, I featured it in some of my newsletters, etc., had him walking on water asking if he was Europe's savior. Now, you and I know he isn't, but that isn't the point. The point is the Europeans are looking for a savior, and they're
Correct. They're
ready to pick just about anybody. Just about anybody.
And it's interesting because I believe that Macron was the way the establishment is testing the water.
Mm-hmm.
The way the elite that pulls the strings was testing the water. I mean, he's not the right person. He's not with the right experience. There's no doubt about it. He's just plunging right now in the polls.
Yes, he's
in
plunging.
France.
Nobody
likes him anymore. But it was to test the water and see if we can pull out of the sleeve someone that nobody heard of who is new, yet he somehow has the charisma to convince the people that he's going to bring a change, that he might be the savior. And it worked. I mean, the guy is now the leader of the fifth largest economy in the Western world. And my point is, whether he's liked or not, it's not a question anymore. He is in leadership. So it worked there. And I want to assume, well, I am assuming, that the next time might be the real deal.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
And I'm not convinced that it's going to be France. That's going to be part of my message.
You said to me that George Soros is behind a lot of what's going on over there. Why don't you explain what you mean by that?
First of all, Soros admitted, I mean, it's not even a question. He admitted that he's contributing money to organizations that are helping bringing those illegal immigrants into Europe. He also, I don't want to put all the cards on the table right now. I want to keep some of this for the conference. But I just want you to know that some of the political figures that George Soros heavily supported are behind the opening of the cork and allowing everything to just come out of the genie, come out of the bottle, basically. Beyond that, we know that some of the Eastern European countries that are members of the EU exposed Soros' part in this whole mayhem. And the Hungarian Prime Minister himself, who, by the way, was Soros' protege, I mean a friend, he said that it is mafia that is trafficking people, humans, for money, and they have the backing of billionaires such as Soros. Soros is paying for every person that is being rescued from the water. He's paying the humanitarian organization's money. So basically, these people are out there fishing for immigrants from the water.
Yeah.
It's so dark. And again, during the conference, in my message, I will even expose much more on the involvement of key people in America in this whole thing. It's quite dark. quite sad, but at the same time, that tells you that the election of Donald Trump was a real accident to the establishment.
Right, because he's a nationalist, not a globalist.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And that's something that I believe is expediting the efforts to prepare someone to take that role. Mm-hmm. And again, that is why I believe there's a direct connection between the message on America, mm-hmm. which I will share first, and the message on Europe, which I will share second.
Well, I think what I'd like you to do is, when we get into my second segment here in just a moment or two, is just give me a few thoughts on American prophecy. I'm going to make a few comments here myself. I think every eschatology teacher on the planet for the last couple hundred years has speculated just where America might fit in the greater scenario of things. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. Again, we're not going to give the message away. Going back to Europe for just a moment, it's interesting in that we see ISIS kind of falling apart, and they're transferring funds to European bank accounts, and yep. then they're taking those funds, turning around, and of course striking with terror attacks in Europe, which then turns around and causes the people of Europe to be fearful, to be absolutely, they don't know what to do, making the mindset of the European even more open to following that Pied Piper leader, whoever it turns out to be. I'm sure we don't know at this point. I know we don't know at this point. But when I get back, Amir, I want to ask you just some kind of basic bottom line questions about America here in the last days. Obviously, every American is super interested in what the Bible has to say about America. Well, guess what? We're not in the Bible. We'll talk more about that in just a minute or two, folks. I'm going to take my first break. When I come back, I'm going to resume with Amir Sarfati. He's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times 2017, next weekend. And that's October the 7th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You need to get there a little early. We had some crowding issues last year, so if you come 45 minutes early, you'll be fine. Half hour early, you should be fine. And we Pastor J.D. Farag, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Amir has two messages. That's what we're talking about for the hour. And I'll bring in some other topics as well this hour. But I want to let you know that what he's going to talk about is totally cutting edge and applicable to our times. It will help you better understand the times. More importantly than that, it will help you to look up and know that our Redeemer draws nigh. Back in a couple of minutes.
We are only 1 week away now from our 2017 conference. We hope you're planning to join us. For full details, visit our conference page at our website, olivetreeviews.org. For the best seating, we advise you to come just a little early. The October 7 event begins at 9 a.m. at Eden Prairie, Minnesota's Grace Church, ending at 5 o'clock. Thank you for making Understanding the Times Radio one of the most listened to weekend programs in America. Every weekend, our goal is to keep you in the know with the best Christian commentators and authors who are writing and teaching about the future according to God's Word. We want to prepare you with insights into current events through the lens of Scripture. To order your own recording of today's edition of Understanding the Times, please phone 763-559-4444. Another reminder, all gifts given to this listener-supported broadcast ministry are tax-deductible. You can write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. Jan Markell's conversation with Amir Sarfati continues in just a moment. We are only 1 week away now from our 2017 conference. We hope you're planning to join us. For full details, visit our conference page at our website, olivetreeviews.org. For the best seating, we advise you to come just a little early. There is no registration needed, and there is no conference fee to attend. Consider joining thousands from across America for this annual event of like-minded believers as we focus on current events and anticipate what the Bible calls our blessed hope. Speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Everything is different, and it's amazing, because the world is on the brink of something big. And I'm not saying that. You watch your news, you read your newspapers, and you'll see it yourself.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And God has also set forth for us some of the signs or the things we can look for as we approach the end times. And the Bible tells us that there are discernible signs of the times that are going to portend the Lord's coming.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
By the way, in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the word church is mentioned 19 times. And you don't find the word church mentioned again from chapter 4, verse 1 on through the rest of the book.
And Michelle Bachman.
We are in your face with jihad. We are in your face in that we are going to conquer you, and our values will prevail, Islamic values, not your values. That's what we need to understand. They are literally at war against the West.
Be sure to make hotel reservations soon as they fill up early. We're looking forward to meeting you Saturday, October 7th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Call us for more details, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just visit the conference page at our website, olivetreeviews.org. See you on October 7th. We live in unprecedented times, and we'll help you understand them. For the first time, we will have a special section with ASL interpretation for the hearing impaired. This section will be available by entering through the main level auditorium doors. Ask an usher or greeter for the location.
We have to look at two things. When we look at America in Bible prophecy, we need to ask ourselves, what is Bible prophecy all about? Bible prophecy is about the future of Israel and the return of Messiah to the world. That's it. The events that will happen that are leading towards his return and that which will happen to Israel prior to his return, and that's it. Bible prophecy is not talking about Asia, it's not talking about Australia, it's 100% either Israel or Israel's enemies, and it's about the King of Israel returning to the land of Israel.
On today's Understanding the Times, Jan's guest, Amir Sarfati, on the line from Berlin, Germany, as he always brings clarity and insight into the Middle East, Europe, and America. We're so grateful to have Amir as a radio guest on this broadcast. Once again, Jan Markell.
Where's American Bible prophecy? When I go to Bible prophecy conferences or I'm on the radio, when people can call in and ask questions, even if you're talking about a totally unrelated subject, the number one question you always get is, where's America in prophecy? Now, I've never been asked, where is Uruguay in Bible prophecy, or where is Brazil or Canada? Everybody wants to know about America because, I mean, we're the greatest economic, political, military power that's ever existed. And so I look at the different passages where people try to find America in the Bible, and I don't believe America is mentioned, either certainly explicitly, but even under any of these other veiled references. So I think America is missing from the Bible. People will say, you know, America's Babylon the Great, or America's, you know, the unnamed nation in Isaiah 18, or the young lions of Tarshish, or these different places. And I look at all of those, and I find America missing, which some would say, well, America's missing just because a lot of other countries are. But I think us being the greatest power that has existed on earth, the fact we're not mentioned is significant. I think it means something has happened to America, and power has shifted to Europe, to the Far East, to the Middle East. And I look at some of the different scenarios of how that could take place.
And welcome back. And we're going to be talking about, well, we're going to talk a little bit about American prophecy this segment, because Amir Sarfati, my guest for the hour, is going to be talking about that in his first message at Understanding the Times 2017 next weekend. And I think every listener, I know not every listener I hear from you has a great interest in other parts of the world, but if you're an American listener, I get it. You're very interested in not only the history of this country, but where is it going, and what does the Bible say about it? Frankly, it's not in the Bible, but you don't read any passage in Scripture about some great nation to the West who's going to suddenly in the end times become a superpower, but probably because something could happen. So Amir Sarfati is with me for the hour, and he'll be with me next weekend. Amir, you know Mark, and you know that he talks about some of the same topics you and I love so much. Give me your take on just kind of what you heard. Now, Mark doesn't even feel that America would be part of the perhaps the young lion, so he does not see America in the Bible.
Well, in order not to see America in the Bible, you probably have to have America completely disappear from the face of the earth, at least if you believe that we are in the very end right now. Because America exists. America, at this point, is still a superpower. America, up until this point, was pulling the strings, for at least for the last 70 years, almost all over the world. So It's hard for me to say, I can't find it, therefore it's not there. You know, when I look at, let's say, Russia and Turkey and Iran, they're not mentioned in their original name. America basically is named after Amerigo, and the guy lived in the 1500s. I'm not expecting America to be in the Bible. We have to look at two things. When we look at America in Bible prophecy, we need to ask ourselves, what is Bible prophecy all about? Bible prophecy is about the future of Israel and the return of Messiah to the world. That's it, basically. And the events that will happen that are leading towards his return, and that which will happen to Israel prior to his return, and that's it. I mean, look at Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is not talking about Asia. It's not talking about Australia. It's not talking about... It's 100% either Israel or Israel's enemies, and it's about the King of Israel returning to the land of Israel to rule the whole world.
That's right.
So we have to ask ourselves, okay, where is American Bible prophecies? What is the role of America in God's plan for Israel and in the preparation of the world for both his return and the events that will lead to his return?
Well, let me insert this. As I'm inserting a comment, but I'm really inserting a question, because I believe America came into existence heavily to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, but to be a protector, to be a friend of Israel. And you've experienced several U.S. administrations. You certainly endured 8 years of an administration that was Israel's literal enemy, the Obama administration. You are hopeful and encouraged about the current administration, the Trump administration.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I don't think Israel ever had any friendlier administration in its history. I mean, American administration.
Yes.
I mean, if I go back to the time Kissinger wanted us to bleed a little bit during the war, I continue to George Bush the father that wouldn't allow Israel to even respond to 39 Scud missiles.
That's right. I remember.
I continue with Jim Baker that wouldn't even care much about the Israeli prime minister and humiliated him. We continue with Bill Clinton that allowed a terrorist to come to the lawn of the White House to receive world dignity and honor, and leading him into the Nobel Peace Prize stage, allowing the most vicious wave of terrorism in Israel. We move on with George Bush, the son, that started with the roadmap for peace, stating and chanting two-state solution, moving on to the Obama administration that was the most hostile administration we had. And now, believe it or not, we have the friendliest president and the friendliest cabinet ever had. And the whole Palestinian agenda is now pushed down to almost lowest level of the world agenda at this point. All that Israel talked about all day long, that Iran is going to be the next North Korea, is happening right now. And suddenly it's the Iran thing that is taking the main spotlight of the coming UN gathering. Mm-hmm. Suddenly it's the Iran deal. Suddenly it's that. And so you see, and even the whole thing, and I think I mentioned that on my blogs, on my updates, the whole thing of Trump's first overseas trip as president was quite amazing as far as Israel is concerned.
First acting president
visiting the Wailing Wall.
If we could contrast his first trip to a Muslim land when he went and addressed...
Well, I believe with all my heart that he listened to Netanyahu's advice to go to Saudi Arabia first.
But remember where Barack Obama went in June of 2009. He went to Egypt.
He went to Cairo.
He went to Egypt, and he essentially launched, because of what he said, the Arab world
the
knew...
Arab
Spring was launched because of Barack Obama's message in June 09.
And
so
Donald
quite a
Trump
difference.
Did the opposite.
Yeah, exactly. Just the opposite happened.
It did. So I'm just saying, we're watching someone who could not have been better friend to Israel, who could have never protected Israel's interests better than what he does now. I don't agree. Now, again, I'm not a fan of the person nor of his character. This is definitely not my thing. But I'm looking at the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is that Israel, for the first time, has a true friend that cares about our interest when it comes to peace and when it comes to security. Now, of course, you're going to say peace and security. Well, yeah, that's what the Israelis want.
Right.
I mean, we know the end. You and I know it's not going to happen. But for Israel's sake, you know, the Bible says that we should always pray for peace and that we should try to live a peaceful life as much as we can. We're not there to stand out and stand up and say, hey, we want war to come. We know the war will come. But in the meantime, Israel must have someone to look after its interest and to protect Israel. And so, and that's what we have right now. You know, I just believe with all of my heart that it was a big accident for the world globalists.
The globalists, yes.
That Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America, and I believe that his leadership right now is making the world angry because he is exactly the opposite of what the world has been conditioned to. And I'm not talking about just America. America is divided more than ever before. I'm talking about the whole world. I'm talking about the Europeans. I'm talking about the rest of the world. The world has been, for the last 8 to 16 years, the world has been conditioned. And somebody comes who is a nationalist, who's not a globalist, and he's telling the world, I'm sorry, but America first. I am taking care of America first. I'm taking care of the miners, my miners. I'm taking care of, you know, my production of oil and gas and shale. And I'm taking care of my own people. That's it. I'm no longer interested in serving the interest of the rest of the world on the expense of the American people. I mean, just the Paris Climate Agreement alone, it's a fiasco. It's so ridiculous. Won't do anything to stop global warming. But
I know.
It will cost America.
There's some talk right now that he could actually go back on that and actually go along with the Paris Agreement. As we speak, there's some headlines talking about that. Folks, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line, I found him. This is Globetrotter. I found him in Berlin, Germany. Found Amir Sarfati there. By the way, learn a whole lot more at his website, Behold Israel, beholdisrael.org. And he's going to be one of my speakers next weekend, Understanding the Times 2017. J.D. Farag, Michelle Bachman, Dr. Mark Hitchcock will be there as well. I want to wrap up our kind of discussion of America. I want to play a short soundbite. It's Don Stewart. I love Don Stewart's teaching, Calvary Chapel guy. He's being interviewed by Greg Laurie about where is America in prophecy. And I think he just, and folks, this is one of the messages Amir will deliver next weekend. Where is America in Bible prophecy? We've kept our comments very short, even very general, because we don't want to give away the message. And all messages will be available on CD and DVD about a month later. Play this short soundbite.
Why do you believe America, or why is America not mentioned in Bible prophecy as a key player in the end, or are they a player at all for that matter?
No, they're not. We're not. Okay, several possibilities. Why? Because, and here's what we assume, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, when this coalition of eight nations comes down to invade Israel, mm-hmm. there's no nation that they're afraid of. Nobody can or will intervene on the side of Israel. So we assume there's no superpower in the world, meaning unfortunately, the demise, as John Wade would say, of the United States of America, unfortunately.
Right.
So we're not there. Meaning we're not either, we don't exist, or we don't have the political will, the military, the economic, we're not a superpower
right.
anymore, and that's the sad reality of it. So we've been predicting along that line, we're going to continue to see the United States go down the drain, unfortunately, simply because the Bible assumes that we're not a player in the last days.
Why is it that you think why are we a diminished power when we're so powerful today?
Yeah, well,
we can only guess.
Yeah, we can only guess. A lot of reasons why. I think part of it is having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, yeah. You know, because we're seen in the world, Greg, as a Christian nation. We are. The rest of the world sees us as Christian, but then they look and come to America and they see things anything but Christian, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's part of the sadness of all this, that we were, you know, we're the, as Ronald Reagan used to say, the light shining on the hill. And yeah. And that was the idea behind yeah. America, you know, the huddled masses gathering right. together. 20 out of the first 21 institutions that were found in this country's schools, Harvard, Yale, William and Mary, were founded to train pastors to go out and evangelize the rest of the country. Yeah. We've fallen tremendously away from that calling.
Yeah, one of the ratifiers of the Constitution pointed out that this country was not founded by religionists, but by Christians.
Correct.
And, you know, there are historians who will give us a revisionist version, and they'll try to edit that up, but this is the truth. But we're not claiming that all of America is Christian, but we have we clearly have a Judeo-Christian foundation that we have strayed from, and it seems to me we know judgment is inevitable. Yep. Every nation has a shelf life,
yep.
doesn't it?
We do.
No matter who. I mean, you go to the great nations of the world, from Babylon to Greece to Rome, etc. They had a beginning, middle, and an end, and that's going to be true of our country as well as any other country. But what we're praying for is before that time comes that we could have perhaps another great spiritual awakening.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say, this is the answer we want. America's not in the Bible in the last days because no one's here. We've got a great revival, the rapture of the church happens, and the country's empty. Wouldn't that be the great answer to
great.
It? Yeah.
Well, amen. And Amir, you and I have talked, and nothing's going to affect the world quite like the rapture. That is going to undo every country on the planet.
Correct, in America in particular.
Yes, America in particular. Number of Christians here. We have Christians even in the cabinet, the new cabinet. So I want to say just a word here before this segment runs out. Last week, the United Nations met, and part of the theme was International Day of Peace. And they also said that together for peace, safety, and dignity for all. Together for peace, respect, safety, and dignity for all. Here we go again, peace and safety, right out of 1 Thessalonians. Unfortunately, they consistently shut out the Prince of Peace, so they're not going to find the peace they're looking for, are they?
Exactly. And people have been conditioned to believe that this Jesus is just one option. And there's many options. And in fact, religion is just a man-made thing, and it's good for the spirit. But in reality, I think that the religion that is emerging is people believe in man's power, man's innovation. And we create our own gods. And therefore, people like George Soros can say, I am God. Yeah. I created everything. I mean, he can say that in an environment that allows him to say that. I don't think that Americans would tolerate such a thing 40 years ago. They wouldn't let this slip through the lips of anyone. But today, we're conditioned to it. And it's very, very sad. It's very, very, you know, it's heartbreaking to see that.
I've caught up with you in Berlin, and you said to me, we already talked about it, first segment, and you're seeing these empty, empty faces in Europe, but that's partly because they threw God out 60 years ago. And the churches now, they're down to near, I get emails from Christians in Europe. There are no churches. There are a few handful. But this is what happens when you throw God out. There are terrible consequences.
Not only that you throw God out, you invite other gods
in,
and you respect them even more than God. In the name of tolerance, you become intolerant to your own God. And it's sad. You know, the view from my room is of the Memorial Church of Kaiser Wilhelm, and it's a church that is destroyed. It was destroyed in 1943 in an air raid, and has never been completed. And that's the picture of Christianity in Europe. I mean, somehow it has never been restored to what it was, and all it is a memorial for things of the past. That's it.
Yeah. When I get back, there's still a couple of topics I want to talk to you about. Talking to Amir Sarfati for the hour, again, one of my speakers, Understanding the Times, 2017, Saturday, October 7th. Again, many of you listeners are unable to attend. You can get complete sets of CDs and DVDs about a month later. You need to sign up for our e-alerts on the website, e-newsletter, e-alerts, or print newsletter. We'll get all the information to you as soon as we can. Amir has two messages, and then we'll hear from Mark Hitchcock, Michelle Bachman, and Pastor J.D. Farag. And I know many of you are followers online, particularly of Pastor JD and Amir. So come on out and meet them if that's possible. And if not, check with us about CDs and DVDs. I've got one more segment left. Let me just quickly say, too, that you can get a lunch ticket as soon as you walk in the door, or bring your lunch if you'd like. And you need to come just a little bit early to avoid some traffic issues, to get a good seat. You need to, we start at 9, encourage you to get there by 8:15, no later than 8:30 for a good seat anyway, because we had some issues last year. And we're running ahead of some of those issues this year, folks. We're trying to put out those fires before they happen. I'm coming back in just a minute or two. We're going to wrap up my discussion with Amir Sarfati. Again, beholdisrael.org. You'll find a wealth of information. Sign up for his e-newsletter, because that will apprise you of his couple of times a week updates he does on either Facebook Live. All of the Facebook Lives put on YouTube about a day later, so you can keep up totally up to date, not only on what's happening during the week, what's happening within the last 24 hours. You could keep up with him that way. Coming back, we'll conclude my one-hour discussion with Amir Sarfati.
Everywhere you look today, everything seems to be twisted or confused. But every weekend, we air programming here to help you understand our times. We invite you to come hear today's radio guest in person. Amir Sarfati will be addressing our next fall conference, now just 1 week away. We hope you've already made plans to attend that October 7th event. For more information on our speaker lineup for next Saturday's 9 to 5 conference at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, visit olivetreeviews.org. Again, click onto the conference page at olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. For the first time, we will have a special section with ASL interpretation for the hearing impaired. This section will be available by entering through the main level auditorium doors. Ask an usher or greeter for the location. To help support this ministry, we encourage you to consider a tax-deductible gift. You'll be helping us reach America with a message, Jesus is coming soon. Please write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan and Amir return right after this.
Thanks to all of you who either pray or financially support this radio outreach. If you appreciate the inconvenient truth coming to your neighborhood, would you think about a one-time tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? We have served the Christian community across North America and the world for 16 years. This ministry and radio outreach are committed to bringing you news and information you won't find many places. We are also committed to bringing you the good news that Jesus Christ is in charge of a decaying world, and He offers a lifeline of hope to everyone who calls on His name. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org, or you can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or drop us a note, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We have a message about today and tomorrow, because the King is coming back. We just want you to be ready and to know where you will spend eternity. This is Jan Markell, and we live in a day of lawlessness in the world and a day of carelessness in the church. This combination brings about a world of confusion where truth is being upstaged by social movements and the ideologies of liberal theology. We help you sort through these issues every weekend right here on this station.
Next week, Amir Sarfati addresses our annual fall conference. We hope to see many of you at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota on October 7th. We return now to Jan's final discussion with Amir Sarfati.
And welcome back. Remember, you can get a CD of any program. Get a CD of this program. Give my office a call. You can become a CD subscriber. We just need to hear from you by credit card, so you need to call us if you'd like to. $15 a month, you get mailed every couple of weeks CDs from the program. You never miss a program, but it is posted to my website every Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. We're now airing on close to 840 radio stations around the world electronically. And why don't you get my e-print newsletter so I can keep in touch with you, let you know when conference products will be ready, etc. By the way, Amir Sarfati leads tours to Israel, and I think it would be the experience of a lifetime. He's just off a tour, and I've heard from some of the attendees of the most recent tour. Amir, they've emailed me at all hours of the day and night talking about what a wonderful time they've just had with you for, I believe, 10 days.
Yeah, I really believe in teaching the Bible in all ways possible. And so Behold Israel is dedicated to do it in three ways. One is to teach on location in Israel, where I give Bible studies on location. Then, of course, to teach around the world where I travel, and then to teach online so we can cover all bases. And I don't think a tour to Israel is compared to any tour anywhere else around the world.
I agree.
Especially for Bible-believing people.
Absolutely. So, and then to have a Messianic Jew as the leader would be, who's a teacher, would be tremendous. So I encourage you folks to look into it, beholdisrael.org. I just hear nothing but absolute positive about Amir and his tours. As he says, you'll have Bible teaching along the way. I'm going to stay in Israel for the next few minutes, Amir, because headlines keep telling me there's a gathering storm, particularly on Israel's northern border. Within Syria, oh my goodness, we've got Russia, we've got Iran, we've got ISIS, Hezbollah is all over the place. For that matter, I think we've got North Korea in Syria. Look, North Korea had a reactor there back in 2007 in Syria that Israel took out in September of 07. So I'm sure North Korea is messing around in Syria as well. So the gathering storm on Israel's northern border, tell me where you think this is going. Obviously, Israel has already struck in Syria, actually has even struck parts of Damascus as far as taking out weapons.
Well, first of all, one more sign of the end is that Israel is definitely facing on its northern border the massing of soldiers and weapons and aircraft, all of that, from Russia and Iran. Even Turkey, by the way, is rolling its forces into Syria. And of course, Iran's proxies, the Hezbollah. ISIS is vanishing.
Yeah.
ISIS disappears. And the funny thing is, it's really, really almost like if it wasn't sad, we would be able to laugh about it. But the only thing that really stands in the way of Iran to expand, Iran and Russia to expand, is ISIS. The ISIS corridor is the thing that is basically separating the Kurds backed by the U.S. and Iran backed by Russia. So it's who would believe that
That's
we may
right.
need to slow down the destruction of ISIS in order to stop the Iranians from advancing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see that Iran understand that under the Russian auspices, they can do things that they couldn't do before. So they were sure that they can manufacture chemical and biological weapon and even just medium-range missiles on Syrian soil, and they were sure Israel won't do anything to them. And came the day, and Israel launched an attack and destroyed that facility, which, you know, normally we destroy weapons, we destroy rockets. This time, just as we did 10 years ago, we destroyed the manufacturing facility of the weapon, the weapon itself.
That's right.
And that is a game changer. And the Iranians, they're still in a state of a shock. They really don't know what to say, because if they say something, that will expose their involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say nothing, but yet we know that it was mostly Iranian bodies that were taken out of that building. We know that the Russians may have somehow turned blind eye to the Israeli attack, because they probably reckon that God knows if that weapon of chemical or biological might one day turn against them. And so it probably even served their interest, what Israel did. But make no mistake, we're running out of credit with Putin. Iran is still there. The Turks are scared that the Kurds are going to declare statehood and become independent.
Right.
So they roll their tanks into Syria and hoping it won't happen. And everything is set for the stage of Ezekiel war.
Mm-hmm.
So Israel understands that our biggest challenge will be in the north, and therefore we just conducted the largest military drill of the last 20 years.
Mm, I know you did.
In northern Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't do that normally, and certainly we don't tell the world that we're doing that unless we wanted everybody to know that don't play games with us. It will end up nasty. And when I say nasty, when I say bad, it might lead to the destruction of Damascus.
Yes.
Which,
well,
I believe.
The Bible says so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Damascus has to be destroyed. Ezekiel has to take place.
Mm-hmm.
So these two things are a fact. Now, we can play with the rest as much as we want, but these are facts. Now, who will destroy Damascus? No one knows. But the way things are shaping and forming themselves, it's pretty obvious.
Well, that's Isaiah 17, folks, so you might want to read that, because it's going to happen. We just don't know the timing. The Times of Israel says this recently. They said, unless the United States, Europe, and the international community wake up to the dangers posed by Iran's malign efforts in Lebanon and Syria, then Israel will be left on its own to deal with the implications of the gathering storm on its northern borders. And, you know, I've watched you a little bit online, and you and Jack Hibbs, and you're on the Golan Heights, you guys, and you're calmly having a Bible study, or you're kind of relaxing up on the Golan Heights, but not all that far away. You can even hear some artillery or some kind of shells going off the other side of the border.
Correct. Let me tackle one more thing about this. I believe that the North Korean affair is a smokescreen, and I believe
mm-hmm.
that the Russian military drill in Belarus and Kaliningrad right now is a smokescreen.
Okay.
We've been detecting over the last, 2 weeks, an amazing traffic, air traffic, of not fighter jets. I'm talking about cargo planes that can bring up to 400 soldiers each in and out of Syria. And
okay.
I'm talking about Russian ones. And so we're not sure if it's their trick to get the world's attention somewhere else so they can gather the masses of their forces in Syria. But one thing is for sure, when you get the attention of the world in other places, then the element of surprise
mm-hmm.
can, of course, play into your hands.
I want to just have you comment briefly, because time is running out here, and I do want to give a conference promotion one more time at the close. But I think you've written about the fact that God is focused on the Gentiles for millennia, and that door could be closing. Of course, it will definitely close at the time of the rapture, but that means the times of the Jews would then, he would begin to focus more on the Jews. Talk to me just for about a minute, two minutes on that.
Well, you know, God has been calling the Gentiles for 2,000 years.
Yes.
He even prepared a messenger for the Gentiles. Paul says, mm-hmm. inasmuch as I'm an Israelite, my ministry is to the Gentiles. There's no doubt the Gentiles were in the main focus of God for the last 2,000 years. And yet, those that are still hardening their hearts, just like in Israel in the past, those that harden their hearts and don't want to hear it, it might be too late for them when the rapture takes place. Because I believe that the world will be so conditioned, so brainwashed, that they won't even pay attention to the fact Christians are gone. And just as he commissioned Paul to minister to the Gentiles, there's going to be 144,000
right.
Jews that will be ministering to Israel. Therefore, they had to be not just Jews, but pure Jews. I mean, they had to be untouched in a way.
Yes, yes.
And these people are ministering to the Jewish people. The tribulation is called Jacob's trouble because it is Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's trouble.
Not the church's trouble.
Exactly. And God is definitely shifting his whole thing to the last week of Daniel.
Yeah.
And we see that. So my point is this. If by the rapture, Gentiles don't make up their mind about Christ, for the most part, I would say they wouldn't do so after. And I believe that, again, just like the time of the Gentiles were, and several Jews did accept Christ in small numbers, the Bible says blindness in part has happened to Israel. And then he says, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And then he says, then all Israel will be saved. So there has to be some sort of a fullness of the Gentiles. There has to be some sort of the door that is closing. From this point on, that's it. And only then Israel will be saved, and God will have to deal with Israel in order for them to get to that point of salvation, to get to that point of admitting that they need him.
Come on out next weekend, Saturday, October the 7th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I've already encouraged you to come early. Come and meet Amir. We'll talk about so many things next weekend. We've just given you a bit of a tease on so many things. You've heard all my speakers here in the last month. You've heard from Michelle. You've heard from Pastor J.D. Farag. You've heard from Mark Hitchcock. You've heard from Amir twice because we played his 2016 message the first weekend of September. And now you've heard him here in the last weekend of September. Try to give you a taste of exactly how we help you understand the times, contend for the faith, and become a watchman on the wall. Again, we'll have CDs and DVDs about a month later. There's no cost. There's no registration. You just show up. Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Saturday, October the 7th, 9 a.m. Come by 8:15, 8:20, no later than 8:30 for a good seat. We'll be able to take care of you for the entire day, but for a good seat, come on out early. Amir, looking so forward to seeing you next weekend. Pray God's blessings on you in the meantime. And folks, let me just go out of the program saying that, you know, Bible prophecy is not given to scare. It's given to prepare. That's all we're trying to do, is to prepare you folks, prepare you to kind of cope with the times in which we live. The headlines can be dark as long as we can look up and know that our redemption draws nigh. We are never frightened. We're not even perplexed. We're just hopefully looking up with expectation, listening for the sound of a trumpet. He's coming very soon, perhaps today. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every week, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekend media outreach, would you consider becoming our partner? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour of discussion to point out the dangers in today's culture and to bring hope through faith in Jesus Christ. Do consider joining us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you call 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you very soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Next week, Jan Markell returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.